worthy to be praised. We know that because it says it in the Bible. We know it by faith. So, Father, we thank you. You are a good, good God. You have done everything perfect. Even when Jesus came, you said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And that's your heart. That's how you look at us. All your thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace. Wow, that's amazing, God. Even though we've killed your son, we hated you, every day we try to destroy you, and yet you love us with love that's unconditional, a love that's everlasting. It's amazing. It breaks us. Your goodness leads us to repentance. And because you have loved us and forgiven us much, therefore we have the capacity, the ability, through Jesus Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And because you are love. God is love. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that that's our destiny. That's our hope, Lord. That one day when Jesus comes back, that we'll receive our inheritance in full. We have a little part now, a little bit. We can see it through a glass dimly, but when Jesus comes, we'll see him exactly how he is, and we'll be just like him. We won't be him, but we'll be like him. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that because all of our sins are forgiven, our past is forgiven, our future is secure, we have a hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Because our future is certain, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. In this present time, right now, as I speak, as we're sitting here, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just got back from St. Louis. I was up there doing some things for my mom and dad. My mom and dad lived with my brother and his wife. They were taking care of them, but they're in their 90s now. And because of my brother and his wife's situation, they had to put them in a nursing home, which was really devastating to our family because we never wanted that to happen. But I went up there and I was helping out and everything, and I just wanted to make sure that the place was perfect. And it was. God did miracle after miracle, and my mom and dad are in a place. It's a Lutheran place, but it is nice. I mean, it is like a resort. This place is nice. And these people are spiritual, and they love Jesus. Three times a day over the intercom, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they have prayer. I mean, they're praying in Jesus' name, and they're doing it, and it's awesome. So it's a miracle. I didn't know it was such a place like this. The landscaping is gorgeous. I'm telling you, it looks like a resort. It doesn't look like a hospital. It doesn't even look like a nursing home at all. And at when my mom moved in, I went with her to they have this little thing at 4:30 before dinner where this lady will get up there and they will sing hymns for 30 minutes before dinner. I mean, and the people love it. They all get there in their wheelchairs and they're all just happy as can be. And the minister goes, we ask my mom's roommate, we go, well, what are you doing? And she goes, I want to hear the good news. And she's like in her 90s also. And so anyway, it's a really neat place. So my mom and dad will be getting the word every day. They'll be able to sing hymns, you know, the old hymns. They're awesome because they're just full of the word of God. And my mom can go. My mom's a Catholic, so they have a little place, a chapel where she can go to Mass if she wants to, or she can go to a Protestant service. So anyway, it's way better than I could even ask or think. It's way better. So anyway, it's good. And then Leah's mom and dad are still living with Leah and I, and they're in their 90s. So I have a ministry to 90-year-olds, so when you turn 90, I'm your guy. But I've been meditating on something all week. I've just been so excited and happy all week. Everything that God has called us to do, He's given you the capacity and the ability to do it. Everything that's written in the Word, like for instance, in Deuteronomy 29:20, it says that God has set before you life and death. Choose life. Well, you can do it. Anybody can do it. God's given you the ability, the capacity to make a decision, to have a thought in your brain where you can actually say, I choose life, I choose Jesus. God's given you the ability to do that. God says, cast every thought, every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of you, you can cast it down. And then it tells you to think on these things. Well, you can do that. Did you know you could do that? Did this seem impossible? Think of your thoughts. You have the capacity, your brain has the capacity to think of 47 things at once, I think, top neurologists say. I've been reading a book on it. And it's interesting how the brain, they're finding out now the brain can actually heal itself. Not itself, but it can be healed. The physical brain, not your mind, the physical part of your brain can actually be healed. By what? By your thoughts. Isn't that weird? And the Bible says, think on these things. It'll restore your health. Read Psalms chapter 1. Meditate in the Word day and night, and you'll be planted like a tree. And even your thoughts in your brain are kind of shaped like trees. These little things that come out, and these thoughts are created by proteins and DNA and all these things. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know all the technical terms. But I just thought it was interesting that when you think, when you have a toxic thought, fear, they're finding out that stress and all these things are the leading cause of all sickness. Because you're stressed out. You have fear, you have depression, because you're thinking the wrong thoughts. Then God tells you how to think. And you can do it. That's what I'm trying to tell you today, you can do it. It seems impossible. Cast every high thought, every imagination, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can cast it down. And then you can think on good thoughts. That's like Jim always says, you always got to have a positive report, always a good report. Even if things look bad, like my mom and dad going to a nursing home, well, it can turn to good. Everything can turn to good because you're a Christian. All things work together for good. All things. Every negative thing, every positive thing in your life has worked for good. You got to think like that. Think on these things. Think what is pure, what is lovely. In other words, think about Jesus. Casting your eyes on Jesus, He is the author and the finisher of your faith. If you look to Jesus, keep your eyes on Him, you're changed from glory to glory to glory because you're looking in a mirror. And that's Jesus. So the Bible tells you how to think. Don't think of yourself, the Bible says, more highly than you ought to think. Because God's given everybody a measure of faith. So if you think highly of yourself, too highly of yourself, then it's wrong. It's pride, and you'll get into all kinds of problems. Just ask Uzziah. Was it Uzziah? King Uzziah? He got lifted up in pride, and he got leprosy and all that. Anyway, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So God tells you exactly how to think. Isn't that interesting? You don't even know how to think. Because you're dependent on God totally for your thoughts, for your health, for your wealth, for your salvation, for your eternal life. God is all in all. And He takes care of you 100%, completely takes care of you in every aspect of your life. My daughter Anna works for a wellness center. And I was talking to her about this yesterday, about the Word of God, how the Word of God is so important and how it changes the way you think. It totally transforms your life by your thought life. Not by, this is all spiritual, but spiritual things affect the soul, which affect your body. Now me, I generally have really good health. They say that, as a matter of fact, they say that you inherit about 2%. 2% of all disease and stuff like that is genetic and all that stuff. But it's very small. It's not like people think, well, my dad died of a heart attack, I'm going to die of a heart attack. No, you can choose life. You. Because God gave you the capacity to do it. He gave it to you as a gift. I set before you today that, you know, blessing, encouraging, choose the blessing. I choose the blessing. When my mom and dad, you know, I got to minister to them and everything. I forgave them for all the stupid things they did, which was a lot of stuff. All parents are stupid. I'm stupid. I do stupid things. I hope Marty and everyone forgives me for all the stupidity I've shown over the years. And then I received all the blessing. My dad and mom have a great sense of humor. They've always loved one another. They've been married for almost 70 years. They've been married a long time. When you're in your 90s and you got married kind of young, you can be married for a long time. So anyway, God is good. Now I want you to turn your Bibles. I got tons of... Man, I was just... This morning I came to the church really early and I was praying and reading my Bible. I was just like, I was so excited. Because everyone here, sound of my voice, has the capacity to do everything the Bible says to do. If you have fear, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Self-control, all those things that God has given us, it's just a gift. It's part of the gospel. The gospel is you did not do good. You sinned, you did evil, you did wicked. And when I got saved, I knew that. I knew I was going to hell. I knew that wasn't, you know, that I was bad. I even had dreams of going there. It was terrifying, you know. Even though I looked good on the outside, I had a great job, I had a, you know, girlfriend, had all the things the world has. Everything looked awesome on the outside. Even my mom and dad thought I was a good Catholic boy. But on the inside, I had terror. I was almost incapacitated at night. I couldn't even, nobody knows this because I was by myself. My dog might know. I had a dog. He might know about this. But I was terrorized by the fact, because I grew up Catholic, and so I had a kind of a terror of God, like, man, if I don't do good, something bad's going to happen, or God's going to kill me, or something. And then when I got saved, all that went away, instantly, that very second. Because I just wanted to know what the program was. Okay, what's God's program? Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it, because I don't want to go to hell. And that was the only reason why I got saved. That's the only reason why we all get saved. I don't want to go to hell, for sure. But I'd like to see how much I can get by with and still get there, but... No, I didn't think that. Catholics don't think like that, I don't think. But anyway. So anyway, I got through all that, and so I began to renew my mind. And this is what we're going to talk about today, about renewing the mind. The mind needs to be renewed. Because your mind is your problem. Because you think wrong. You do wrong because you think wrong because you're idolatrous. Idolatry leads to immorality, which leads to justice. All the injustices in the world, all the immorality in the world is caused because people are idolatrous. We don't think right. We have wicked, evil thoughts. We worship ourselves. We worship, you know, other people. We worship the creature rather than the creator. You are a creature. You were created by God in his image and likeness, of course. But you're still a creature. But now... You're not just naturally a creature. You are born again. You are a new creation. Brand new. Oh, I was telling you about Anna. This is the point I want to make about a new creation. She works at a wellness center, and they do everything natural and all that kind of stuff to get people healed and better in their health. But the problem is the way people think. They're all stressed out. Anna was telling me, she goes, the only ones, literally to the person, the only ones, and they have hundreds of people come through their clinic, the only time it works is when it's a Christian. It just won't work for an unbeliever because they can't change their thinking. They can't not be stressed out. They can't not be depressed. And they're finding out now that even if you do chemicals, if you take drugs and stuff, it's not going to help. Because the chemical part of it's not your problem. It's the actual brain is the problem. You're thinking wrong. So isn't that interesting that the Bible... I listened to this scientist. She said, now science is finally catching up with the Bible. Because most of science is not real science. It's just... All science is a revelation of what God's already done. All the laws that God created, you know, gravity and everything. It's just science has discovered that stuff. what God has done, what God is going to do, whatever. It's just all God's stuff. Because there's a scripture in Deuteronomy also. It says, the secret things, those are, and that's God's stuff. You're not going to know that. In this world, you'll never know God's secret things. But the revealed things, they're for you. You just got to search it out. And God's the main one. You must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So if you seek God, you'll surely find Him. It's a promise. You will not find something else. If you're seeking God, you will find Him. Because God said you would. And it's all, but it's all by faith, because you're not going to see the guy until, you know, till the end, but it's all by faith. So we're just living by faith. In the end times, it says in Timothy, in the end times, the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. People get upset about doctrine. They don't like it. All it means is teaching, but the doctrine is the old story. God has never changed. Same yesterday, today, and forever. People change their doctrine because of circumstances, because of how they feel, what they think, what they've observed in this world. It's nothing to do with it. Doctrine is the Bible. It's just a teaching. It's just the old story. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. He is sanctifying you. Until He comes back, He's doing a good work in you. So there's death, burial, and resurrection. You died, and you're buried, and you're resurrected. Every day you die. Every day you die to your own stinking thinking. You die to your depression. You die to all your sin, fear, doubt, unbelief, pride, lust. You die to that every day. I tell you, God's mercy is a new morning. Every day I'm excited to hear the gospel. I'm excited because I have to hear it over and over again. God, you really love me? Yes. God, are all my sins really gone? You nailed them to the cross? Yes. Whew. So every day I got to be, because, you know, overnight I hadn't maybe had a dream, or my wife yelled at me, or, you know, my mother-in-law did something. So I have to remember. So I got to remember God every day. His mercies are new every morning. As a matter of fact, the Bible, in Psalms, it says, I will declare your mercies in the morning, your loving kindness, and your faithfulness every night. So in the morning, I wake up, all I want to know about is God's mercy and His loving kindness. And then at night, I made it. I'm in my bed. I'm about ready to go to sleep or whatever. Whew. Thank you, God. You were so faithful today. I was happy all day. I was joyful all day. I was casting down imagining. I was fighting the good fight, whatever. You know, and you got to talk like this, because that's how God sees you. He sees you as whole. He sees you as His beloved. Yeah, as a child, His beloved. One day we'll marry Him. One day there will be a wedding, and all of us, He'll marry His church, His bride, and that'll be awesome. But in the meantime, He's getting us ready. He's doing all this stuff. He's changing our mind. He wants us to meditate on the Word day and night. He wants us to, and you can do it. Why? Because the Bible says you can. You can meditate on the Word day and night without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always be happy. You can do it because the Bible says you can. Jesus gave you the capacity to do it. You can do all things through Christ. Somebody just said that earlier. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So you can do it. Don't think you can't do it. You can do it. But just by faith. It's just sheer 100% faith. Only Scripture, only faith. You know, only Jesus. You're not going to do it any other way. Like Anna was telling me, there's only Christians can do this. Non-believers can't do it. I don't care how positive thinking they are, whatever, they can't do it. They will fail. But we won't, because we have Jesus. Jesus never fails. Thanks be unto God who always sounds kind of like always leads us in triumph. Always being in my day and time. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So you're shouting unto God the voice of triumph. Why? Because He's triumphed. You have nothing to worry about. I tell you, pray about everything. Whenever I see a problem or a person or something, or even if I have a vain imagination about a person or something, I pray about it, and then I forget it. And it's done. I don't have to worry about it anymore. If I have a problem at work, I just pray, and then I drop it. I don't worry about it. Or, yeah, but don't you got to think, well, that's too bad. Do what you want, but I'm not going to worry about it. Doesn't mean I'm not responsible. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I always do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to worry about it. The results are in God's hands, right? You pray, but the results are in his hands. You cannot control your circumstances sometimes, or rarely ever, right? Or you can't control this world or all that stuff. All the stuff is going to happen to you. But you can control your response through Jesus Christ. He's given you capacity, the ability to do it. Everyone here is smart. I don't care what it looks like or what you think, because God's given you a mind, and he's given you a soul. He's given you everything you need in this world, and then he sanctified it by his word. But people want to confuse all that because they want to have their own doctrine. I have a relative of mine. His son declared that he was a homosexual. So he completely changed his doctrine. Not for the good either. But everybody does that. Even we do it sometimes. We go through a circumstance or a problem, and so we change the way we read the word. Well, it must have meant this. No, I meant exactly what it meant. So don't mess up with your doctrine. Just pray. Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own. It's my Father's. And I only say what he says. I only do what he does. And God never changes, ever. Whew, that makes me feel good. Doesn't have progressive thinking or something like that. Like they want to say that Christians are backward thinkers and they're stupid and they just believe the Bible. And, well, that's a lie. That's actually smart. They're the ones that are not progressive thinkers. All that stuff they're into is from old. Like Jim said, it's just Babylon. It's just the old corruption, evil story. We have a different story. Our story is redemption. Our story is from Abraham. Father of faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, just like the Apostle Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. I got the whole thing memorized, but you know what I mean. That's our belief. I pray that all the time, that very prayer. Because I want to remind myself what I believe so that when storms in this world come, I'm like a rock. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you know, living water, and so I can't be moved. And unfortunately, when I was up in St. Louis, I talked to some people that were liberals. They got mad at me because I refused to dialogue with them or something. I don't know what. What they want you to dialogue so you can. And I told him at the end, I go, so you guys are really intolerant. No, we're not intolerant. Because you're really intolerant, because at my intolerance. I know it's an old thing, but it's kind of funny. They are. You can dialogue with them as long as you agree with them, or you compromise. But I'm not going to compromise. So I didn't compromise, but it didn't work out good because they got mad, you know. So anyway. God is good. Don't ever change. Just stick with the old story, the good news. Jesus died for you. He rose for you. He ascended into heaven. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. God did everything for you because he loves you. He's for you. As a matter of fact, he's given you everything you need for this life and the life to come. That's all his promises are for. For this life, and for the life to come. So everything God promised he'll do, he'll do. If you're old, God said he would bear fruit even in old age. If you're barren, God will make a way. It says it in Psalms. If you're anything, God has a promise for it. If you don't think right, if you're depressed, fearful. A lot of people are full of fear, terrified. Well, God has a thing for that. Fear will actually cause your brain, the physical brain. Now, I'm not talking about something spiritual right now. I'm talking about the brain itself, the DNA and the proteins. Your thoughts are actually made of proteins. It'll cause them to shrink if you have a toxic thought, and it'll affect your brain. They can actually measure this with machines. Everything gets all jumbled up, and it's not in order. And then it said your brain was meant for positive thoughts, was meant for love. And if he has anything else in there, then it gets all, you know, everything gets mixed up. All your proteins begin to shrink and things get all messed up. Wasn't that what the Bible says about us? You know, it says that we got to think these thoughts, have a good report. Always, you know, I'm not talking about positive thinking or anything like that. I'm talking about Jesus thinking. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we got to get into his ways and his thoughts. But it's by faith. You can do it because the Bible says you can do it. You can cast down every imagination. Every imagination, every bad thought, every bad imagination you think can be cast down and brought into captivity to the Word of God, casting down strongholds in your life that you've had for years and years and years and years, 52, 100 years, however long old you are. All those thoughts can be taken care of. Right now I'm working with my mother-in-law because she's afraid of everything. She's just fearful. So Lee and I are always talking. No, I don't have to be afraid. Everything's okay. God is good. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear has torment to it. It paralyzes. You can't even function as a person. You can't even hold down a job. And people are afraid. But you don't have to be afraid anymore because Jesus has taken care of all that. All your fears are gone. So you can be free. Okay? God is good. Okay. So that was let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Everybody's familiar with the scripture. Here we go. Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read a few scriptures just because I was meditating on these. I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now your mind can be renewed because of Jesus, because what he did. You have the capacity and the ability to do that because of Jesus. He does it for you, in you, and through you. You cannot do this apart from Jesus. You do it in Jesus, because you have to read the Word. Like Larry said earlier, you read the Bible, you're transformed. Something you've never read before all of a sudden becomes real to you because of Jesus. God, the God quickens it. The Word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Then I repent. I'm comforted by the Word. I change my mind. I change my thinking. I change my everything. And I'm happy. I didn't realize that was in the Bible. That is awesome. God is good. And I get excited. And I'm joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm twirling around and I'm dancing. And you just need to do that. It's really fun. You can twirl. You can dance. You can be excited about the Word of God. It's okay to do that, especially when you're alone. They might think you're crazy if you do it out in public, but at least alone you can do that. Because God is, I'm telling you, it's exciting. Jesus has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And I'm going to tell you here in a minute where to set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. So I'm dying daily. Dying to what? All my stinking thoughts, all my sin. And by the way, evil, toxic thoughts, that is sin. Don't be so freaked out about your sin. So what? Jesus took care of it all. Besides, it's neat when God shows you something deep, you know, secret sin, whatever, that you see it And then it's taken care of by Jesus, and then he empowers you to overcome that sin. It's awesome. Because you know it's not you, right? I mean, hopefully you do. And then God gets all the glory, the honor, and the praise for it, because he did it all. He did it for me, first of all. Jesus kept the law for me. Then he forgave me for not keeping the law. And then he empowers me. He establishes the law. He established the law, but he also does it through me. So once in a while, you know, it's pretty rare, I do something that's good, or I have a good work. I tell God every day, well, God, I know I'm free today. I can sin. I can do a lot of stuff, but I'm free to do good works. I choose that. And whether I'll do it or not, I don't know. I'm choosing it anyway, because it says in the Bible to choose life. So I'm choosing life every day. But whether I fulfill that, I won't do it perfect, obviously. But that's what I choose. And it's good. Go ahead and do stuff to the hilt. It's great. Whatever God promised, just say it and believe it, even if it's ridiculous. Like casting down all imaginations and having every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Just think about that. Think about that. Every thought obedient to Jesus. That takes discipline. You got to discipline your mind to read the Bible, discipline yourself to think. When you think a thought, that's a stupid thought, a lust thought, or a greed thought, or I'm awesome thought, or whatever. You got to cast all that down. That's just your vain imaginations. And I tell you, people live in vain imaginations. They imagine they're great and everybody else is wicked, or people imagine all kinds of stuff. But you got to cast all that down into the obedience of Jesus Christ. So you can think soberly. The Bible says thinking soberly. That's how you think soberly. You just take every thought captive to the word. And don't ever think that you heard from Jesus if it's not in the Bible. People do it all the time. I talk to people all the time. Oh, I heard Jesus say this, this, and this. Well, that's not in the Bible. I know it's not, but I think for me it's different. They always say that. No, I don't think you heard from God. You need to go read that again or something. You need to cast that thought down. Anyway, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given to me that to every man that is among you, all of you, not to think of himself more how he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So think soberly. It's all right to be sober-minded. Doesn't mean you're not funny or you're not lighthearted or anything like that. It just means you got to think soberly in the real world that God has created, in the reality of the world. You can't have, you know, people think too much. I've had several friends of mine and people that are even relatives of mine that are at the genius level and intelligence, but their lives are a waste. I mean, you know, they're not a waste, but you know what I mean. They think all wrong. You know, they don't, and their lives are a mess. They all have health problems, all kinds of problems. They're all going insane, and ridiculous things are happening because they're trying to figure this world out and fix it without God. You can't do that. It'll drive you insane. If you try to fix your own, let alone fixing your own life, you're trying to fix the world, and you can have problems because you're not going to do it. Even though Jim wanted to be the Antichrist, he wanted to take that job, you would have had problems, Jim. It's hard even for the Antichrist to get the world to be totally Antichrist because of us. Christians are the ruination of this world. We have ruined, according to a lot of people I talk to, Christians are the problem. And the Jews, too. The Jews and those Christians are. They'd rather have the Muslims ruling over than us, because we are wicked. I tell you, people hate Christians, I'm telling you. I just came from up north. They're not like down in Texas where everybody's going, yee-haw, praise the Lord, Jesus. Well, they're not doing that up there. It's different. I could tell the difference when I got there. I was like, wow, people do not like Christians. They had a parade at the town I was in, where Mom and Dad live, and all the floats were, you know, everybody was happy and clapping. As soon as the NRA went by there, NRA had this little float and stuff, and everybody was depressed. Anyway. All right, so we see that to be not conformed to this world, don't think like the world thinks. The world does not think right. They think completely opposite of the Bible. Their whole philosophy, they're coming from a point of view that man is at the center of the universe. Man can improve. Man is progressing. I thought about this. A relative of mine told me that. That the man is progressing. Man's getting better and better. It's funny. I thought that was pretty funny. I was just thinking about how things progressively got worse. Right? I mean, I never thought that man was getting better. I think man's getting more corrupt. It's easy. So what if we have technology? It's just easier for man to sin. You can just get on the internet and sin anytime you want. There's all kinds of pornography. There's all kinds of whatever you want. It's on the internet. So you can. It just makes it sin more accessible. Anyway, that's just my two cents about technology. But it doesn't make your life better or anything. It's just the only thing we got is this Bible. Okay, so Jesus. In the end times, people will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine is not bad. Paul wrote to Timothy. He told him, this is my doctrine. Even Jesus said, my doctrine's not my own, or my teachings are not my own. They're from the Father. Our teachings aren't our own. Jim's teaching is not his own. You can teach it. It's just the Bible. So his doctrine isn't Jim's. He didn't get it from himself. He got it from spending time with Jesus and reading the Bible. He got it out of the Bible. So your doctrine is in the Bible. It's not down at the local church, or it's not down at, you know, on the internet or something, or some preacher, televangelist or something. That's not your doctrine. Your doctrine's in the Bible. Yeah, it's simple. Oh, my gosh. That's another conversation I had with my liberal neighbors was, you're just simplistic. That's just to say, it's more complicated than that. Well, no, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not. You know how simple it is? It is so simple, you would just dance all over the place and be so happy it's so simple that a little kid can get it. The simplicity of the gospel. That's a good word. It's simple. Yeah, go ahead. Wow, that's awesome. That's good. I have a nephew that's, a grandson that's autistic, but God can do anything. He can save anybody. Everybody in this world, everybody, I don't care if they die when they're in the womb or whatever, it says in Romans, everybody has an opportunity. No one will be, when it's all said and done at the end of time. This is God's secret thing. I don't know how it works. Don't even try to guess how it works. I don't know how it works. But everybody has an opportunity. No one's without excuse. No one. So we're not without, none of us have excuses. Right? It doesn't matter. Which is neat because everybody has their own. God loves people so much that he gives everybody an opportunity to come to him or not. They can choose not to because everybody has that capacity to do it. God's given you that capacity to do it, to choose him or choose life or choose death, choose Jesus or not choose Jesus. Everybody has an opportunity. Otherwise, God would be unjust. Even though I know what the scriptures are thinking about in Romans, where it says, why does the potter say to the clay and all that? I know that. But still, everybody has an opportunity. God is a loving Father. He loves us with an everlasting love. And that's why he gave us the Bible. Everything God did, he did in love. He did for you. Jesus died on the cross, not for himself, not for the Father. He didn't die because the Father. He died. He willingly gave his life so you might have eternal life, so you might know him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, so you can have fellowship with him all the time. That's what God wants. He wants us to love him and worship him and to be happy, because he knows that's what leads to happiness. Sin, self, whatever, selfishness, all those things that I was talking about, toxic thoughts, they don't lead to happiness. If you read the Bible, then you know. And it's awesome, because you're just doing it by faith. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's simple scripture. Well, that's what the Bible, that's what God wants you to do. And you can do it. You can do it. That's the neat thing about God. Everything he told you to do, you can actually do it. Because Jesus gave you the capacity to do it through himself. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness by his promise. So he made a promise, and he gave you everything you needed to do that promise, whatever it is he does. Whatever God commands you to do, he does it. He doesn't just give you the stuff to do it. He does it. So if I need to rejoice in the Lord always, then he'll do it. And I tell him that too. I make him do it. God, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be fearful. I'm going to get to Jesus as quick as I can every time, because I don't want to live. I can't even, I don't know how people do it. I can't even function like that. I can't even take an aspirin. I couldn't make it without Jesus. And I know that. How do I know that? Because I read it in the Bible, but also I lived it. I have a testimony. You all have a testimony. Once I was lost, and now I'm found. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. I was totally deprived, totally in fear, torment. Now I'm free. And that's your testimony. And that's my testimony. My testimony is that I was not going to make it, and I knew it. I don't know how I knew it. I wasn't even a Christian. I didn't even know it. I thought, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm just not going to make it. This world is not designed for me to make it. I mean, I don't know how I knew that. I knew it. And it's terrorizing. It strikes terror in your heart. If you're not a believer, you are just paralyzed. That's why people do drugs and alcohol and all the things that people are into, because they're scared. But then Jesus comes in, and he saves you and takes all that fear away. And then you know exactly what's up. It's enough. Like he was saying, the simple gospel is enough. You don't have to trick it up. You don't have to make it more palatable or anything like that. It's just what it is. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God somehow redeems that and takes care of it through Jesus Christ, through his blood. And then Jesus, isn't it neat that God died for it? If he just did that, that would be awesome, right? If we were just going to go to heaven one day. But he kind of gets into this life, and he's sanctifying us, and he's molding us, and he's doing all this awesome stuff in our life, and changing, not changing us, but killing us. Because my mind, My fleshly mind is enmity against God. It hates God. But the mind of the Spirit, they're crashing. You know, they're always fighting every day. I got to get that Spirit guy. You know, and that guy, this guy has to die every day. Because I have weird thoughts. So I'm casting down every imagination. Jesus is doing it, but you got to do it by faith. It's just discipline. When I wake up in the morning, I change all my thoughts. I have to change all my thoughts, because all my thoughts are weird and stupid, sinful. I'm changing my thoughts. I'm reading my Bible. Every day I read Psalms. I go to Psalms right away. And poof, man, I begin to feel, I begin to say, wow, God is good. Man, that voice of triumph, praise the Lord. Yeah, the wicked are all going to be destroyed. It talks about that a lot in Psalms. And the righteous are going to shine forth. And you know, you start feeling a little bit better. Because if you look at the world, you think, man, the wicked are winning. We are being destroyed. But Psalm says the complete opposite. Complete. So who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the world? You're going to believe what the Bible says? I believe what the Bible says. So I'm happy. That immediately makes me happy. Because I'm praise. It talks a lot about worship, and it talks about how God's counting your hairs, and he's rejoicing over you, and he's loving you, and he's giving you the victory, and he's getting, you know, and you're just, it makes you happy. It makes you joyful, and you're rejoicing. Oh, God, you are so good. Then you can, you know, then you can move on to read stuff, whatever. God leads you to read. But the Psalms are good. It's good to start out in Psalms, I think. You don't have to do whatever God tells you to do, but Psalms is good. It's a good book. I think David must have known something about God. Anyway, it was good. Okay, so I want to read. And so the secret things are God's. The revealed things are for us. God's revealed tons of stuff to us. And we can choose life and death, and be not. In Colossians 1:23 says, "Be not moved from the hope of the gospel. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's the message. But the real message is Jesus. The real message is you can do it. Don't say, "Well, I'm not smart enough," or "I have too much sin," or "I got too much of this going on in my life," or "I'm too busy," or "I'm too blah, blah, blah." I mean, there's a million excuses. I mean, people don't even come to church, but they all have excuses not to come. "Well, I got to work. It's my only day off." You know, Leah's not here because Titus got sick. That's an excuse. Okay. I'm rebuking her right now. No. But people have all kinds. But the Bible says don't. The reason why I come all the time is because the Bible says don't, not because I want to all the time. Who cares if I want to or don't want to? That means nothing. I come because the Bible says to come. There's a scripture for it, just lots of scriptures, but you're not supposed to forsake the assembly of yourself together. So just come for no reason. Who cares if it's boring or we don't have smoke machine? We don't have a smoke machine. We don't have a, you know, anything fancy or anything. And then who cares? Go somewhere. I mean, go. Just because, especially you see the day approaching, we should meet all the time and build one another up and encourage one another. Because I tell you, when you're out in the world, you're not going to get encouraged. You're going to get slapped in the face. You're going to be, you know, a backwards thinker. You're going to be all the things that the world says you are, which is all a lie. But that's what. There's a scripture I read this morning about the wicked when they twist your words. You know, when you say something, they'll twist it to make it sound, you know, evil. You ever notice the media does that? If you say something, they will trick it up a little bit so it sounds evil. Oh, you don't like kids. Or you don't like da da da. Or you're a racist. Or you're biased. They use all these terms just to tear you down. But it says it in Psalms. So I was like reading that. I was like, "Man, that's awesome, God. You already knew all that. And you told us to be happy anyway. Just pray for them, love them, help them, because they're destroying themselves. We're the only hope. We're the only salt, the only light in this world." Amen? The only salt and the only light in this world is you, which should make you happy, joyful, that God chose you from the foundation of the world to be light in this world, to be a minister of reconciliation. That's you. Just believe it. Don't do it for it. Just believe it. If you believe it, you'll do it. If you have faith, then you'll do it. And you do have faith because God's given every man a measure of faith. It says it right there. I just read it. So everything God wants you to do to renew your mind, he's already provided. He's given us the Bible. How awesome is that? He gave us a Bible. And you could actually look at the Greek and the Hebrew. You can actually look up the words. I mean, you don't have to even speak it. You can still look it up. I mean, I don't speak Greek or Hebrew, but I know it some because I can go to the word and look at it and see exactly what it means. They have all kinds of books. As a matter of fact, there's a library in here. You can sit in there this morning I sat in there and I looked. I used all those books. I had them all spread. There's a huge table in there. You can spread it all out and just, wow, that's cool. That means that. And because the word mind in the Bible, it has lots of meanings. There's like four or five different words in the Greek and Hebrew that mean that are talking about your mind or your brain or whatever, your mind. So, but you have to know what all that means, and it makes everything make more sense. You're, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. So anyway, God is good. Don't be afraid to do this. It's kind of scary because you don't think you can do it. I know everybody's sitting there thinking, a lot of you are sitting there thinking you can't do it. You can do it because God's given you the smarts to do it. He's given you the ability to do it. He's given you everything you need to do it. So you can have a sound mind. You can have a happy, happy, happy emotions all the time. They say that, when I was reading that book, they say even your emotions, if they're happy and joyful. Now, this lady is coming from a Christian point of view, but if you are renewing your mind by the Word of God, it actually changes the physical structure of your brain. People that have been in automobile accidents and had their brains, holes in their brains, and have come out, it takes a long time, but they've actually been totally healed and even better because their parents read the Word. While they're in a coma, they read the Word to them, and they sang over them and did all these things, just preaching the Word of God to them, even while they're in a coma, and they came out fine. So the brain can actually, your brain, there's nothing wrong with your brain, right? Say, there's nothing wrong with my brain. Or your mind. Your mind is messed up because it has to be renewed, it has to die. The old fleshly mind is dead, now you have a new mind. You have the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. The mind that you have now is the mind of Christ. But the old mind dies daily. Your old emotions die every day. I don't care if something's sad, I'm going to be happy. If I'm sad, it's only for a minute or a season. I was sad my mom and dad were moving into the nursing home, but that was just for a moment. Then I was glad because I saw what God did. Huh. God, this is awesome. This is a great place. My mom goes around kissing all the people, you know, and she's got Alzheimer's pretty bad, but she's happy all the time. She sings. Everybody loves her in the whole place because she walks around, hey, and she kisses them and hugs them, and she sings all the time. She has an awful voice, but she sings all the time. And everybody knows her, all the Lutheran ministers, I talked to some of them. They're really neat guys, but they were all there and they were ministering to all these old folks, and it is a blessing, I'm telling you, it was fun. And I met Ruth. Me and my mom's roommate got along real well because we both believed in the good news, and we had a great fellowship. And my mom is going to love it there, and my dad loves it there. So it's good. God is good. Amen. He turns everything the enemy means for evil, he'll turn it to good. Everything. I know you think that, but everything. Amen. He turns for good. Amen? All right, let's pray, and then we'll do the communion. Offering. It's 12:30. I did pretty good this time. Last time I spoke to almost 1 o'clock, so you guys are blessed. All right, Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you that we'll take it to heart, that you have done everything for us. You've even given us the ability, capacity to change our mind, to renew our mind, and you do it. It's not us doing it. We're not that wonderful and great, but you do it. And all we got to do is read your word, pray. Like Larry said earlier, just spend time with Jesus. Spend time in his word. Spend time loving him and worshiping him, thanking him. Thankfulness, having a lot of gratitude because God saved us and saved us from all of our sin. And we love you, Jesus. We love our neighbor as ourselves because you have forgiven us much. So we love much, and we thank you for that. And everyone here has been forgiven tons, a lot, everything. We all deserve hell, but you've given us heaven. We all deserve to perish, but you've given us life. We've all deserved to live in darkness, but you've given us light. You gave us everything we didn't deserve. And we love you for it, Lord. We thank you and praise you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and your glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.